It's good to be back at Fredonia. Good for this beautiful weather that the Lord has given us. There's just something about when you see the nice sunshine outside. It just lifts your mood, lifts your spirit.
That's right, brother.
Jerry mentioned a word there that it kind of stuck out to me, because that same word is in the message that the Lord has put on my heart.
Amen.
He said, "Behold, I, the Lord, try and reigns." Turn with your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. We'll start at verse 1 and read on down. I believe this message is very relevant in today that we're living in. And it's not preached about much, but I think it's very needful. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 1. The Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try," there's that word, "try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world."
Yes.
"Hereby we know, or hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God."
Yes.
"And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." I'm going to stop my reading right about there. But as I said, John here told us not to believe every spirit, but to try the spirits. Now, when I was growing up, and I became a Christian in 1993, I've been a Christian for about 25 years now. And when I was starting out, that was one of the verses in the Bible that confused the living daylights out of me. Didn't understand it. The important thing is to remember, when you're a Christian, you don't just read something once and get it all at once. You don't just understand it. You go through life, you see experiences.
Yeah.
You go back to that verse and it becomes a little clearer each time. I tell people in my guitar lessons like that. You might not even understand exactly what I'm saying now, but the more you play this instrument, the more you learn about it, when you come back to this thing that I told you about, it'll make a lot more sense later on. So when you're reading the Bible and you don't understand something, just keep going. It'll be revealed to you when God is ready for you to be revealed.
That's right.
Well, this verse here, me and my wife had an experience earlier this week that really just put this verse on my heart, and it's not left it since. And when it talks about trying the spirits, I don't see it necessarily as we're going out here and being mystical people and we have all these, you know, sorcery things.
Right.
You know, a person's spirit and a person's demeanor will show forth in their physical form. It'll show forth in their physical, something that we can see. But Jesus talked about bearing fruits, and you'll know them by their fruits.
Right.
You'll know them by the actions that they do, the things that they do, what kind of character they have. That's that inward man, that spirit of the inward man that's coming out. And whatever they're influenced by, whether it be influenced by the Holy Spirit, or whether it's influenced by an evil spirit, will come out in that physical manifestation. Mm-hmm. So it's not saying that we need to have spiritual eyesight and we can see all these ghosts and spiritual things and all this stuff that the world is really pushing at us right now. It's basically telling us to have a discerning mindset that we can recognize when something is of God and when it's not.
Yeah.
So as I read this, it says, "Try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Mm-hmm. And I began to read some of the stuff here that John said. See, you've got to realize when you read the Bible, you've got to remember context and the culture.
Yeah.
And back in these days, they must have had an issue with people saying that Jesus Christ didn't come in the flesh. They must have had a problem with that. They must have had all kinds of doctrines going on saying that Christ didn't appear in a physical form, that God can't do that, he's too holy or something like that. So John had issues with this. But if you'll flip back before this, there's other characteristics of people that are not of God. In chapter 2 here, about verse 18, John is talking to people and he gives them some more criteria of being able to know if something is of God or not. In verse 18 of chapter 2 of 1 John, it says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from among us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. For I have written to you, because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar?" Here's the criteria. "But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ." See, there's not only one criteria, one credential, that tells us whether something is of God or not. There are many things to watch out for. This is another problem they had in those days, that they denied that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. That's the Christ, the Anointed One, the one that God had sent to this earth. That's the problem they had back then. Guess what? We have that same kind of problem in the world today. People want to believe in Buddha. Right. People want to believe in Confucius. Mm-hmm. People want to believe in Muhammad. They're all confused, amen, that Jesus is the Christ, the one that was sent from God. Not all these other false prophets, but that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten, was the one sent from heaven to deliver us the message of salvation and make a way that we can be saved. So he said, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. A lot of people talk about God. You'll hear people talking about God. They have no problem with talking about God. Amen. But when you mention the name of Jesus, that's where the rubber meets the road. People don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. They don't want to have anything to do with what He stood for. They want to believe that there are many roads to heaven. There are many prophets, amen, that have different messages. And it doesn't matter which one you believe. All of them are going to lead to the same place. Well, if you're believing all of them that don't believe and confess in Jesus Christ, then yes, they are going to the same place. And that place is called hell, amen.
Yeah.
Christ made the way to heaven. He built the bridge using two big old pieces of wood and three rusty nails, amen, called the cross. He built the bridge from man to heaven, amen, from God to man. Right. And He's the only one that did so.
Amen.
There's not many ways to heaven. There's one way. Jesus said, if you deny the Son, you deny the Father. Yeah. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And John here says, He's Antichrist, He is against Christ, that denies the Father and the Son. You must have both of them.
That's right.
Many religions today are leaving some of that out. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he hath not acknowledgeth that the Son hath the Father also. No, excuse me, let me read that again. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also.
Yeah.
Whoever will say that, yes, Jesus came from God, yes, Jesus was born of a virgin birth, yes, Jesus, amen, died, bled on Calvary, He was our sacrifice, He was put in the tomb, and He rose again the third day,
right,
then that's the same one that is sent from God. He's got the Father as well.
Right.
John tells them here in verse 24, Let therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. People are leaving their first love. Amen. They're out here in all kinds of modern day society we live in. There's modern day new age church religions. There's new church buildings that have all kinds of new doctrines trying to bring people in. Amen. And they're not doing it by the way and the standard of God. Amen.
Uh-huh.
They're doing it by what they think will help them draw a crowd.
Yeah.
He said, stick on to that thing, hold on to it, that you've heard from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Another way in the Old Testament put it, in Jeremiah, I believe it was chapter 6, verse 16, it says, seek ye out the old paths and walk therein. And then you'll find rest for your souls.
Yeah.
Hang on to that which you heard from the beginning. I believe Paul told Timothy the same thing, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Don't be turned about with all these other doctrines.
Yes.
If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him.
Right.
The last two verses of that chapter say, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him.
Yeah.
Amen. The Bible tells us to try the spirits. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
See whether they believe in God. See whether they be of God or not. And I was talking about just a few minutes ago, the Lord being my helper. Me and my wife was at a grocery store earlier this week. And, amen. We happenstanced upon a young man. Amen. That kind of stopped us in our place, and he was asking us if he could ask a question. And I was kind of suspicious of him, but I said, okay, he was a young man, maybe no older than maybe 20 years old, if that. Seemed like a nice gentleman, but began talking to him and began listening to the things that he was saying, the things that was coming out of his mouth. The Bible says, amen, that out of the heart cometh the abundance of the man. Amen. Out of his mouth comes the abundance of a heart.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Whatever he was speaking there, I began to listen for key words. And let me tell you what, the Bible says not to believe every spirit. I mean, so many people out in the world today are gullible. Amen. They believe everything that's told to them. Amen. They won't go back to what thus says the Lord. And they'll take people at their word. They might be the most kindest person you've ever seen. But inside they might have all kinds of wickedness in their heart.
Amen.
The devil knows how to talk. Very subtle words.
Yeah.
He knows how to make things sound attractive. You don't believe that? Go back to the very first part of the book of the Bible where it says Genesis, amen, said he was more subtle than all the beasts of the field.
Right.
His tongue, amen, is what cheated mankind out of paradise. Amen. He talked a good talk, and he deceived Eve and he deceived Adam into taking the forbidden fruit that God told him not to. And they were kicked out of paradise.
Right.
And that's why Jesus had to come. Muhammad didn't come and die for me so that I might be reconciled to Christ and God. Baal didn't come and do the same thing. All these false gods, this is nothing new, church. They had false gods by the hundreds before, amen, we ever come along.
Exactly right, they did.
There are all kinds of gods. You can go to the Greek gods. If you've ever studied mythology, they've got about 20 or 30 of them. One that controls the sun, one that controls the moon, one that controls the underworld. They're so confused, amen. I tell you what, there's one God and one alone that controls it all.
Amen.
You go back to Isaiah and he said, there is none beside me. I am God. There's nobody else.
Amen.
He even called them out. He said, you take a piece of wood and you build yourself an idol to it, but the next minute you know that you can take that same piece of wood and burn it in the fire. How's that going to save you?
Exactly.
Amen.
A lot of people today are misled.
Yep.
The Bible says in Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 4. Let me turn to it real quick. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine.
Amen.
By the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Yeah.
They lie in wait to deceive us.
Mm-hmm.
But let me get back to my story here. My point is,
lesson one.
Amen. We talked to this young man, this young gentleman. He was going around just come to find out. He wasn't just asking us. He was asking other people. He had mentioned something about missions and going over different countries and trying to unify the church, amen. And some of those words stood out to me that you don't hear in normal Christian everyday conversation, amen. One of the words that came out and that really caught my attention and my ears perked up is he used the term unification church.
Mm.
How many in here has ever heard that term?
Mm.
Nobody. If you hear something that you've never heard before, you better watch out.
Right.
He mentioned that. That's one thing that comes to mind. And I thought it was pretty funny. As, you know, me and Melissa was looking at each other. We didn't know what to say to this young man. Didn't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to get us to donate $1, donate $2, whatever, and he had these little 3D prints, these pictures that 3D, and they move if you switch them a certain way. And there's a couple in there that look pretty neat, but then he come across some of them that were fairies, and come across some of them that were not biblical images, fantasy things. And that's another red flag. Sure, he had pictures of Jesus and things like that, but there was the world mixed in with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got to talking to him. Still didn't have a clue what to say. We look at each other and don't know, try to give each other visual cues, you know. Well, I saw Melissa over there just turn, her eyes got big. And when her eyes get big like that, let me just tell you, something's about to happen. Her eyes got big, and she looked at me, and the next minute she turned and looked right in the big old huge eyes and said, "Well, when did you first come to know the Lord?" And I just kind of jerked back. I was like, "Okay, you got this. We're just going to wait it out and see what happens now. The ball is in his court." I don't get approached by strangers that often, so I usually don't know what to say. But that began the conversation. And the young man, now notice I said earlier, the people will talk about God all day long. They have no problem with God.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I first came to know God, and I did, God's love, and all this other stuff, God this, God that. No mention of Jesus whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
When she said the Lord, she specifically was referring to Christ, to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Either he must have thought she meant God. Mm-hmm. He got talking about God and all this. Now, nothing's wrong with God, don't get me wrong, but religions today won't acknowledge Christ. But we've just read that if you don't acknowledge Christ, then you just might as well throw God out the door because you don't acknowledge Him either.
Yeah. Yeah.
God sent a messenger, and if you don't listen and acknowledge the messenger, then you rejected God. Amen?
Amen.
So we got to talking, conversing a little bit more. And finally, we had to say, I didn't know how to turn it down easy, you know, you don't want to be rude. But I asked him more information. I said, "Well, do you got a card or something that I can research this a little bit better before we commit any money to this?" And he gave me the name of the website. Everybody's got a website nowadays. He gave me the name of the website, and I tried to remember it in my mind, and before we left, I asked him about it again. And I said, "Well, we're just going to hold off, and I'd like to do a little bit more research in this thing." And right before we left, I told him, "Well, you know," I said, "if this thing is of the Lord, then God bless." The Bible says don't bid anybody Godspeed that's not doing things of the Lord. So I put a caveat on that and said, you know what, if it's of the Lord, then God bless. Which also means if not, then God don't bless. Well, I forgot all about what the website was. It left my mind. I said, Melissa, I've got to figure out what this is. I've got to read more into this because now I'm interested. Not that I want to give to this organization, but I want to see what they believe. Because they're sprouting up everywhere. There'll be churches you don't even know about what they believe in.
Right.
Unity, unification, that's a big thing right now. But it slipped my mind. I couldn't figure out what to do with it. And she said, well, you know, that may be a sign that the Lord don't want us to have anything to do with it in the first place.
Yeah.
And I kind of said, okay. I just let it slide. You know, but when you get something in the back of your head, it just really bugs you to death. Like when you get a song in your mind, you can't think of what the name of that song is, or when you hear a verse of scripture and you can't really quote it, and it just bothers you. Well, I let it alone. We get ready to go to bed, and I lay down in the bed, and as soon as I hit the bed, it come back to my mind. But it wasn't the name of this website, it was another word, and I started researching that word, and it led to this other one. And the name of this website, if I'm not mistaken, is Generation Academy. Generation Academy something. But if you look that up, you'd be able to find it. It turns out this church, this unification business, they don't believe in the same Jesus we believe in. No, they will say in their bylaws and their doctrines, you look it up, the unification church, they'll say things that sound good on the surface.
Right.
When you start digging, you find out they believe that Jesus should have been married, that he should have, that his work was cut short on the cross, so therefore he couldn't perform that marriage so that everybody would be a happy family again, like Adam and Eve. But my Bible tells me that when Jesus was on the cross, he said, It is finished.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing else to be done. The work was complete.
Yeah.
He wasn't sent here to marry somebody. He was sent here to bring God back to bring mankind reconciled back to Christ. He was not sent to unify the whole world.
Right.
They talk about unifying the church and unifying all this. Well, I trust God to do that. But Jesus said, you think that I'm come to bring peace? I'm not come to bring peace. I'm come to bring a sword.
Yeah.
He's come to divide the sheep from the goats.
Yeah.
He's not come to unify all of them together.
Question.
Because there's a standard that God has met and God has sent out when He sent Christ, that not everything that confesses, Lord, Lord, shall enter in.
Right.
And so we must be adhered and really having our ears, and our Bible says be wise as serpents, harmless as doves.
Yes.
When you hear something, you go out of this world, when you leave this church house and you hear something that doesn't sound biblical, it doesn't sound something familiar that you've heard from the beginning, and you better take caution about it.
Right.
I'll read another verse of Scripture too, and then I'll be done. Romans 16, verse 17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Mm-hmm. Avoid them entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Doctrine is just another word for teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be, like Ephesians said, don't be tossed to and fro with every teaching you hear. Don't believe everything you hear. Research it. Do your Bible.
That's right.
Do your research in your Bible. Does it line up with God?
Amen.
Everybody's got a website now, and you may have to go to the website and dig a little deeper and do some other terms to find out the true meaning of this.
Right.
It says, "For they that are such, that cause divisions and teach other doctrines, they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." You want to grow in God? Get in your Bible.
Amen.
That way you don't have to worry about everything out there swaying your faith.
Right.
A lot of people, when they go to college, they used to be raised in church,
mm-hmm.
or they've heard about things in church. They go to college, and the professors just talk them right out of it.
Right. Yeah.
Why? Because they're not grounded in the Word.
That's right.
Ground yourself in the Word, because everything that does not confess this Word, the Bible we just read says, who is a liar but those that do that?
Amen.
I don't know about you, but it really burns me up if somebody lies to my face.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Especially if they do it in such a way that it's all nice and flowery and it sounds like something I'm interested in. I heard a preacher one time, he was talking about the creation versus evolution thing. And he was talking about how, you know, evolutionists, they'll tell a little bit of the truth, but they'll put a little bit of rat poison in there with it.
Yeah.
When you're trying to kill rats, you don't put a whole bunch of rat poison out. They won't be drawn to that. You put a big old wad of cheese or peanut butter and you just stuff a little bit of rat poison in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it takes. And that bugger's dead. They'll sprinkle it with all kinds of kind words, but they deceive the simple.
Mm-hmm.
Second Peter, it says it this way. He's talking about Paul. He says, "Account," 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, "an account of the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brethren Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood." In the Bible, there's some things that are hard to understand in the Bible. "But they that are unlearned and unstable rest." They twist these things. They don't understand it, so they're going to twist it to suit them. "As they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." He gives us a warning. "You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness."
Amen.
And he ends this epistle by saying, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever." Peter says there's people out there that are ready to deceive you, and the only way to get over it is to grow in the knowledge of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him.
Yes.
And If you want to know somebody that's wrote a book, you read that book. Because this was right from the lips, right from the words of the author himself. And if you're to grow in God, then you need to study His Word. It came directly from Him, passed down to men who were inspired by His Holy Spirit. And so I just encourage you today, when you go out in the world, be listening. The Bible says to watch and pray. Tells us to, he that hath an ear, let him hear. You know, we need to use these senses that God has given us and really be searching those things and discerning those things. When you discern something, it means you can tell the difference between one thing and another thing. The truth and a lie. Good and evil. We need to pray that God will give us a discerning heart. So that when we go out, we know what to do about this stuff. Now, as I told you, as I close with this, I told you that when somebody approaches me as a stranger, I don't know, generally, I don't know what to say. I'm not ready for it. But you know, this was a good experience because not only did I learn more about this cult, might as well just say what it is, and there's a lot of them out there. I can name them, but some people might get offended, so I'll just leave that to you. Somebody comes to you, you just look it up for yourself. The one thing, good thing that came out of this, number one, we got to witness to the young man. And number two, I now have some weapons of my own. I now have a little bit of extra idea of what to do when somebody approaches me. If anybody approaches you and asks you to donate to a cause, let me tell you what I've learned. You ask them, what are your fundamental teachings? What do you believe concerning God, concerning Jesus, concerning the Holy Ghost? And most of the time, that'll get you a straight answer. And if you still don't have a straight answer, just tell them, I need more time to think about it. And then you go home and do your research. Because that is a very important thing. Blatantly, people will deceive you into funding their cause, which is going out there spreading lies and not the true gospel of Christ.
Amen.
And that's what I came here to tell you this morning. That's the message that's been on my heart. I'll ask everyone if they would to stand. I'm going to ask Melissa to come to play the piano. This has not really been a get saved message, but maybe you feel like you don't have an arsenal. Maybe you feel like you don't have the weapons. You don't have a hope to answer every man according to you that asks you why you believe, why you believe.
Amen.
Maybe you feel like you need to move up and say, God, help me to read my Bible more. Help me to grow closer to you and grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ so that if somebody ever approaches me, I'll know what to say.
Amen.
That's a scary feeling. To know somebody might be in the wrong and you don't know how to lead them to Christ, how to tell them about Christ, and they can walk off and die and go to hell.
Yep. Amen.
We need to be ready. Peter said, let every man have a hope, have an answer, but then to ask us about the hope that lies within us.
Yep.
Pray that God will strengthen your mouth. He will give you the words to say. Paul even said, pray for me that I may boldly speak the things that I need to speak. If you have a need this morning, come. Don't put it off. You say, well, I never walk and meet people like that. Well, there's the first time for everything. Believe me, I know. I've been there just this past week. And God can give you those words. But it's got to come from something that's already inside. And if this is not inside, you're just going to be stumbling around. And they're going to have the advantage over you.